Jesus said, a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Several years ago, I substitute taught in a Christian high school in Atlanta. And during that occasion, I gave to my students a Bible exam. And one of the questions was this: what do you think of the Bible? This is one reply from a 16-year-old female, a Methodist. I think that the Bible is a great thing. The Bible has become much more important since the death of my father. When I think about him or remember things about him and get upset, I just open the Bible and start reading. The Bible has become sort of a companion to me. I like to read it. And then a young 16-year-old boy wrote this reply. He said, I think the Bible should be used as a Boy Scout uses the Boy Scout handbook. And then one 16-year-old female again wrote this. I think the Bible is about the most useful book we have. Because if you look, you can find an answer to just about any problem you have. But the way that you go about reading the Bible makes the difference. The way that you go about reading the Bible makes the difference. This morning we want to talk about the way that you go about reading the Bible. Technically, that is called the science of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics. It comes from the Greek god Hermes, who was the messenger of all the other gods, whose purpose was to interpret the will of the gods to the people. Hermes. Hermeneutics, the science of hermeneutics, the way that you go about reading or studying the Bible. First, consider the interest in Bible study today. Before World War II, that phenomenon called liberalism or higher criticism held a sway and dominance over the churches and the universities and the seminaries in America. But after World War II, a somewhat evangelical revival as people began to study the Bible and doctrine began to return back to biblical truths. People became interested in studying the Word once again. In our own day, we have witnessed in the past 25 years the remarkable phenomenon called the home Bible study movement. That is where little cell groups have been meeting in homes in different places throughout cities and away from the church. And something akin to a revival has started as a result in Christianity. Indeed, every local church should have a balance between the big celebration worship services and the small group studies. If you read the book of Acts, the experience of the early church, you cannot help but see that there was that balance present. It says in Acts 2 that the early disciples met. They met in the temple. They worshiped God, but then they also met daily in homes, breaking the word of life to one another. So that if you or I expect to really have a full-orbed Christianity, if our needs are going to be met, if we are to grow as God intended us to grow, then there must be this balance within the church. There must be the worship service. There ought to be those great celebrations of God's people coming together. But there also should be those occasions when the church meets with just 7 or 5 or 10 in small groups in homes. I know of a church in Argentina, 25,000 strong. It meets once a week on Sunday afternoon in a stadium for a great grand celebration in its worship service. And then throughout the week, every member in that congregation is involved in a small group commitment. Now, that is not just a good idea. The sociologists didn't invent that. God's Word says that that's what we need, Christian, and that's what you need. You see, just being in church won't do it. You also need that food, that fellowship, that commitment that comes from Bible study in a small group. By the way, we're in the process of starting more. The Lord has been blessing us along that line, and we hope to see more small groups started in the fall. But there is a great precedent for having personal Bible study and interpreting the Bible for yourself. Revivals have inevitably come when God's people began to read and study the Bible on their own and in their own language. We like sometimes to use the King James Version, and I'm not knocking the King James Version. I use the King James Version, probably always will, when I read the book of Psalms. But let me tell you this. The King James Version was a result of a renewal and a revival of God's people wanting God's Word in their own language and in their own modern tongue. And wherever a revival has broken out, normally it has been preceded by a reading of the Word of God in one's own language and tongue and modern understanding. So there is a great interest in Bible study today, but there is a great need for personal Bible study. Biblical illiteracy is still rampant. R.C. Sproul of the Ligonier Valley Study Center in Pennsylvania took a poll of the general public, and he found out this, that the general public had a high view of Scripture, that is, they believed the Bible was in some way the Word of God, but it said this, that there is little knowledge of what the Scripture actually says. I gave a test to one of my congregations one time in Georgia, a Bible exam. I'm going to give you one too in Sunday school next week. But don't let that scare you off. I know you like to take tests. The results were amazing. The young adults in the Sunday school and this church in Georgia in Bible exam scored 91% in Bible knowledge. The women's ladies class scored 81%. The men scored 79% and the young people 78%. And that was in a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. There is a great need for personal Bible study. I mean for you to be involved in studying the Word of God yourself today, because there is an over-dependence upon the professional interpreter. I mean the person who offers himself as having the most accurate, the absolute truth, the particular perspective. We're all familiar with the TV personalities. We are familiar with what happened with Jim Jones in Guyana. We are familiar with Reverend Moon's Unification Church. How people become so easily duped. Here is the reason. They don't know what the Bible really says. There is an over-dependence upon the professional interpreter. But then, on the other hand, there is a dependence upon the unprofessional interpreter. We all know about those small groups where people come together and they more or less share what they really don't know. Maybe they have read one or two books, and now they fancy themselves as some kind of biblical authority and interpreter. And so they, in essence, share what they really don't know about Scripture, but they think they do. So I'm reminded somehow of what the philosopher, orator Cicero said back in Rome. He taught oratory, and he was listening to a young man give a great, wonderful, marvelous speech. And after he got through, Cicero said, "I have never heard anyone say nothing with such authority in all my life." So, too, there are those who gather together only, in essence, sharing their ignorance. And there is a dependence too much upon that kind of environment, too. But let me tell you this. Spiritual renewal comes from the reading and the study of God's Word. The psalmist says, "Let thy word revive me." If you want revival in your own heart and life, if you want revival in your church, then the thing to do is to seek God in His Word, and He will honor that. It is interesting to me, as I have read about revivals in the past, particularly the 18th century revival as it occurred throughout the coastland of America and in England, how that revival was preceded by good preaching, teaching the content of the Word of God, and it was sound and it was good. But I also read how when people began to concentrate on the emotional and the bizarre, that God no longer blessed it, and the revival turned into a mockery. God honors His Word. That's what He honors. But there is a problem. A problem in the interpretation of the Bible, isn't there? Those people who say that the Bible is a simple book to understand must not have read it. The gospel is simple, that's true. It is an easy thing to come into the knowledge of Christ as Savior and Lord if you but read the book of John. But as you look throughout the pages of the Bible, it is a challenge indeed. The problem of Bible interpretation, however, is nothing new. I mean, it is old as the Bible itself. Do you remember in the Scriptures how Jesus had two different groups in Paul warring against each other? There were the Sadducees and there were the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the conservatives and the Pharisees were the liberals. And then on throughout history, there have been consistently different methods of interpretation developed in the 2nd century, in the 3rd century, in the 16th century, and on into our own day. But there are two main methods that Christians have of interpreting the Bible. The obvious question is, who is right? Who is right when I hear all of this coming to me on the radio and on TV and from my pastor and the other pastor down the street and this particular person? How can we know who is right? Well, there are two main methods that Christians use to interpret the Bible. And let me illustrate it by this. A young man was in my office about 2 weeks ago. And we were talking about the Bible, and he said to me, "But you know what you might interpret from the Bible may mean something else to what I interpret from the Bible." I know you've never heard that, have you? But I said to him, that makes utter nonsense of the Word of God. Was God uncertain about what he said? Did he purposely cloud what he had to say? Can indeed one person get something from the Bible and another person get something totally different? Then what is the usefulness of truth if that were possible? It is not. You see, God's Word is revealed and means just one thing. But that is the difference in interpretation. Again, a young man went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I'm having the greatest time studying the book of Ephesians. I've been being blessed the last 30 days. I've been keeping a record every day of my study of Ephesians. And the pastor said, oh, tell me what you've learned. And so what this young man did was reflect back to the pastor the experience in his own heart of what he was thinking and feeling as he was reading the book of Ephesians, when this young man finally had to admit, you know, I really don't know what Ephesians says. All I knew was what I was experiencing. And so the young man went back and for 30 days studied the book of Ephesians, and he came back and he said, I have discovered a great and marvelous truth as I have opened the Word of God and studied it for what it says. Now that is the difference. The two main methods. One approach is what is called the objective approach. What does in fact the Bible say? But the second main approach is this. What does it say to me? You see, those are two different things, Christian. And I say this to you, and I know this morning we're talking a little differently than we normally do on Sunday morning, but I want to share with you the burden of my own heart that there are enough influences in our society in recent weeks and on TV and radio to lead you astray as to what the Bible actually teaches. And I'm saying, Christian, study it for yourself. You see, some Christians use the Bible as a hopscotch study. That is, they try to find some lift, something to zonk them and to give them spiritual light and happiness. But that's like the guy who was thumbing through the Bible. Oh, Lord, speak to me today. And Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh, Lord, speak to me. Go and do thou likewise. Whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. Some people use the Bible as a Ouija board, just like you close your eyes. Oh, I know God is going to lead me to something good. You see, that's a totally different approach than opening this book and studying it for what it says to you. A young boy and girl were dating at college at Belhaven. They were thinking about getting married. The young girl said, I'm not sure. I'm going to pray about this and search God's Word. And so she thumbed through and found a verse that said, where Paul was talking to the Corinthian Christians about going and offering, making an offering to help the Jerusalem Christians. And it said, in essence, go and perform the doing of it. And she thought to herself, praise God, He has shown me what my answer is. God wants me to break up with this young man. Now, I'm sure you are as mystified as I at that thought. But friends, that is the way, if not most, many Christians use the Bible. something as a mysterious Ouija board rather than studying the Word of God for themselves. Now I want to give to you two main principles, Christians, for studying the Bible. These are not new with me. They were developed throughout history, throughout indeed the Bible itself. And the first most important principle that you can use in reading and studying the Word of God is this. The Bible interprets the Bible. Scripture interprets Scripture. I mean that the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. The letters of Paul, the epistles, interpret the narrative sections, the gospel and the book of Acts. You see, if you don't follow that principle of interpretation, then you fall into what the Pentecostal movement has fallen into, and that is reading the book of Acts and reading about Pentecostal experiences, the second blessing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as if it is meant for you and me today. But a development of that principle is also that you interpret, if Scripture interprets Scripture, you interpret the difficult sections by the clear sections. What happens when a person becomes a Christian and he becomes zealous for Christ? Do you know what book many converts want to study? Babes in Christ. What book would you think? The book of Revelation. They have heard about the revelation. They have heard about the second coming. And now they want to get into the book of Revelation. But let me tell you this. If there is any book that ought to wait until the very last one before you study it, it is the book of Revelation. Do you know that John Calvin wrote a commentary on practically all the books of the Bible except the book of Revelation, when he had the humility to say, and he was brilliant, developed the Institutes of the Christian Religion, wrote a comment, I can't understand that. I'll leave it until I grow more in maturity. But you see, what often happens is that Christians take the hard parts in the book of Revelation and they begin to interpret the rest of the Bible by that particular book. And that is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong to approach it from that standpoint. There is a second method, principle, and it is this. It is called the analogy of faith. And I know I'm using some technical terms. And I'm doing it purposefully this morning. The analogy of faith, it means this. Whatever you have found in one part of the Bible, that portion will not be contradicted in another portion of the Bible. Did you all read the recent issue of Time magazine, the religion section, about the rabbi who has written a book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People? It's created a storm in Orthodox Judaism because this is what he says. His name is Kushner. Kushner decided that this biblical story, he's talking about Job, best advises us to accept a God who is good but less than omnipotent. Bad things thus happen in situations not within God's direct control. That just flies in the face of everything that the Bible has to say and teaches. It is unthinkable. God is in control. That is what is consistently taught and preached and revealed in His Word. And the analogy of faith will teach you that, if you use that principle. Now, I could go on to develop some important rules and the benefits of personal Bible study, but I'm going to skip that and go on to one easy method of Bible study. One easy method. Dr. Howard Hendricks, who is a professor of Christian education at Dallas Theological Seminary, got on an airplane and he noticed that the stewardess on the airplane was one whom he had led to Christ some time before. And he asked the stewardess, "How is it going in your Christian life?" And she confessed that it was pretty miserable. She was at a low ebb. And he asked her, "Have you been reading and studying the Bible?" And she said, "No, I don't understand it. It's too hard." And so he said, "Come here and sit down." And so he picked up his Bible and he turned to a passage in Scripture and he had her go through a portion of Scripture asking 8 simple questions. Who? What? How? Where? When? Why? So what? And how does it apply? And just through that Bible study, that young stewardess got so excited. The Bible opened up to her in new ways and new vistas as God showed to her that she can study the Bible on her own. And Christian, you can too. I have included in the bulletin an insert on a basic Bible study, and I want to recommend it to you. I'm talking primarily this morning to Christians. I realize it. You may not have an interest in Bible study because you simply are not a Christian. And you need first to come to Jesus Christ and to repent of your sin and to acknowledge Him as your Savior and Lord. But let me say this, if you are a Christian, if you can accept your lifestyle and not have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, then I want to challenge you, Christian, are you indeed a follower of Jesus Christ? I am suspicious of those people, albeit good people, who say they are believers, but they have a reason for not being consistent in their daily intake of the Word of God. And it could be that you, Christian, you simply have allowed other habits, other priorities, other demands to crowd out that all-important time. But I want to challenge you this morning. There is an old saying that used to appear in Bibles. People would write it in, and it was this. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Jesus said, a man cannot live. You cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Christian, take up your Bible and search for the God who has revealed Himself in His Word. Do it today and do it tomorrow. Will you? Will you? Let's pray.